This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will be a blessing to you. For those who would like to contact me, again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can contact me if you'd like to leave prayer requests. You can reread or you can read my meditation on my website. You can re-listen to this program on my website, and you can contact me through regular mail or through the website. If you would like a copy of this program on a CD, you might need my address so you can let me know that. And if you would like to be placed on the free subscription list to Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, again, I'll need your address. So if you want my email address or your website address or my mailing address, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, we've been looking at Acts chapter 27, and this is the story of the journey that Paul made with this with these Roman soldiers as he went from Caesarea to Jerusalem. And this is a trip that Paul was convinced he was supposed to make. He had been told, if you remember, that he was going to be a witness to the Lord at Rome. And so the way appears that he's going to be a witness at Rome is through this persecution in Jerusalem, where the Jews tried to convince the Roman soldiers that he had been defiling the temple. He gave his testimony there, and then he's taken to Caesarea. And at Caesarea, he gives his testimony to a number of men, but the last one was King Agrippa, who said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian," or perhaps, "In a very little time you have almost convinced me to believe this gospel that you are proclaiming." But because there was a possibility that he could be sent back to Jerusalem for his case to be heard, and he knew that if he went back to Jerusalem, the Jews would kill him, he appealed to Caesar, and now he's on this journey from Caesarea to Jerusalem, and it's a picture of life. It's a tempestuous journey. It's not an easy journey for them to make. And of course, there's storms and there's problems. And we've recognized when we came down to chapter 27 and verse 13 that Julius, who was in charge, had been misled by the so-called experts and by circumstances. Because we read there, "When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete." And so there were circumstances that seemed to be favorable. They obviously wanted to continue their journey to Rome. And so they believed what they wanted to believe, and the Paul's advice at this time was not taken. And of course, Paul was a man of the cloth, as they would say. He was a preacher. He was a prophet. He was a spiritual man. He was not a sailor. So what would he know about it? But nevertheless, they should have listened to Paul, because Paul was listening to the Lord. And it's often like that in life. We look at circumstances and we say, well, everything seems to be favorable for what we want to do. Even though perhaps there are other indications, wise counselors and others who tell us not to do it. And so we get into the situation where the south wind blows softly, and often it seems like when the wind is at our back, when the road is downhill, when there's plenty of money in the bank, when everything seems to be going right, that's when we often depend upon men instead of depending upon God. And that's often when we make mistakes that are very costly. Now, as we go down to chapter 27, verse 14, we read, "But not long after," here we see the change in the weather, "not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclidon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. Now, Luke is writing that, and so we have that pronoun we. Luke the physician was with Paul, and of course he's the one that has written this history called the Acts of the Apostles. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. And when they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the what they call the Syrtis sands, they struck sail and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship, and on the third day we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. And then verse 20 is a significant verse. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we should be saved was finally given up. Now, I am going to make an application with this verse to the thing that I experienced when I was saved. One thing we don't talk much about anymore when we talk about the new birth or when we talk about being saved is the matter of being troubled, convicted of our sin, realizing that we are not right with God and that we need to get right with God. Sometimes we understand that we just simply can't go back to a time when we trusted the Lord, and we can't go back to a time when we can say, yes, I knew I was lost and I understood that Christ died to save me. We can't go back in our minds, not to a date on the calendar, but we can't go back in our minds to that kind of an experience. Now, it's interesting that there are many people tell me that they do not remember when they were saved. We've talked about that before on this program. And yet, when it comes to our first birth, while we didn't remember our first birth, a record was made of it by someone. And there was hospital personnel, a doctor, a nurse, somebody was able to record the fact that we were born. And I just wonder who has recorded that fact in our own lives when it comes to the new birth. And you say, well, it's been recorded in heaven, and that's true. But you'll notice that what is recorded in heaven usually is known on earth. And so when we look at the names that are recorded in heaven, those names that are recorded in heaven as being the Lord's, being in the Lamb's Book of Life, I believe those names are names of people who repented and believed down here. And that's something that it's hard for me to grasp when I talk to people and they say, well, I never had a time when I didn't believe. I never had a time when I really realized I was lost. But for me, I was like these people on this ship in verse 20, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we should be saved was finally given up. In other words, they had to come to an end of themselves. They couldn't save themselves. They had to look to God to save them. And I know exactly what that's like. It seems to me that the big hurdle most of us have when it comes to knowing that Christ died for us and accepting his salvation is that we try to put our own hand to what is taking place. We try to do something. We try to believe that we can figure it out, that we can work it out, that we can pray it out, that we can pay it out. We want to do something. And when these things don't satisfy, and when we come to that point of humility where we realize that we can't save ourselves and that we simply are lost, it's at that point that God comes in and says, but I've already sent my only begotten Son to save you. Just trust him. It works every time. But the thing I can see is that in most testimonies of people who say they are Christians today, they seem to in some way take some credit for the fact that they're saved. And God wants all the credit for saving us. He doesn't want us to believe in any way that we were worthy, that our works were better than other people's works, that there were things that we did that in fact saved us. No, it's when we come to an end of ourselves, when we realize that we can't save ourselves, when we realize that we are totally lost. It's then that we can turn to the Lord and He can sail our ship. It's true that we really are turning ourselves over to Him. We're no longer trusting in ourselves. We're no longer trusting in men. We're trusting in the Lord Jesus. Now, this aspect of finding out that all hope that we should be saved was finally given up, finding out that we can't do anything to save ourselves and that we are lost, that's something that I don't hear much of today. And I don't want to be a legalist and say that there's a certain formula for getting saved, but I do like to hear when people found out that they were lost, they couldn't save themselves, and they find out that Christ did the work that saves, and they just rested upon it. So this is an important part of our experience as we think of our relationship with God. And so it turns out they finally gave up. And after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood up in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me." In other words, he's saying, "I told you so." "And not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss." God is always right if we really got His word for what we're doing. "Now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed God has granted you all those that sail with you. Therefore take heart and listen to this. For I believe God that it will be just as it was told me.' However, there's going to be problems. We must run aground on a certain island." But he says, "I believe God." When we come to the point where all hope is lost, then God comes in and through the Word of God tells us that Christ died for us, that Christ died for sinners, Christ died for us. And if we believe that it will be just as He has told us, we're going to get peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So friend, that's the lesson I want you to grasp from this story. I want you to understand that we can't save ourselves. We can't sail our own ship. But somehow, experiences of life, the conviction of sin, the burden of sin, the knowledge that something is wrong has to get a hold of us, so that when we find out that all hope is lost, when we find out that we can't do anything, then God can come in and assure us that the work of salvation is done. And then we need to do like Paul did. We need to believe that it will be just as God has told us. Our assurance is of salvation is in the promises that God has made us. And dear friend, I just hope you are resting on those promises and have believed God. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do pray for Thy blessing upon this program. We pray for Thy blessing upon those who are listening. We just thank Thee for Thy love and for Thy word and for Thy Son and for Thy salvation. We thank Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. My website address, again, is bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.